Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
KYW Original Podcasts.
It's just a good conversation with somebody that you didn't know you were interested in. I'm Matt Leon, and this is One on One.
I threw Phil his last touchdown.
Did you really?
Yes, I did. I started the last game of the season in Bossier City against the Bossier City Battle Wings. The Dallas Vigilantes against the Bossier City Battle Wings in a shootout. And I had no idea what I was doing, and I threw 8 touchdowns. And I said, man, this game is a blast.
And our guest this week, Philadelphia Soul quarterback Dan Rattaball, a 2-time Arena Bowl champion and really one of the greatest AFL quarterbacks in recent history. Dan, thanks so much for stopping in.
Yeah, hey, Matt. How's it going, man?
Doing well. Appreciate you taking the time. 8th year in Philadelphia. Does that seem possible?
You know, it's been a blast. It's a good thing when it all kind of blends in together. And it's funny you say that. I was listening to something Clay Thompson had said tonight after, you know, they got their series swept, I guess. And he said, someone asked him, how about these 5 years? What's different this time? And he said, you know, it feels like one big season. And I can kind of relate to that. And it's been a blessing. Very grateful to have done it here. So we're still rocking. Got all of our goals in front of us this year. So we're going to keep pushing.
Now, you're from Texas. Is Texas high school football as intense as they say?
I'd like to think so. It was really fun in high school. Like, don't get me wrong, you know, I had a blast. Our high school was pretty big ball. We were 5A when I was in high school, which was the biggest classification. Now I believe Coppell has gone to 6A, and Coppell Cowboys, they play good ball these days. We were all right when I was there, but they're playing good ball now, and it's a blast. They got a big jumbotron, and you know, when I'm home during the holidays and stuff, you see the Texas high school football on all the regional Fox Sports covers it really, really well. And, yeah, it's awesome.
Everybody that plays football when they're young dreams of playing pro, taking it as far as they mm-hmm. can. When did it start to kind of crystallize for you that, hey, you know what, I can go beyond high school. I got a chance at college, and maybe some doors will open.
You know, my story is a little unique. I didn't play too much in high school until my senior year. That's when I really became the starter. But in Texas, we play spring ball as well. You know, you get a month of practice and then you have a spring game, but it's inter squad, but it's still a big deal. You know, there's a fundraiser. Right. The Capo Cowboys, the red and white game is what it was. It was a good thing. And they can start recruiting, you know, in May in Texas, and they'll come down and see Texas, you know, see all the spring ball and practices and everything. And I got recruited and was offered some deals, you know, from that. And 7-on-7 was just starting to catch on. You know, I'm in my 30s, you know. 7-on-7 blew up is a huge thing now. And it was really just starting to find its way. And I got some offers and went and visited some schools. You know, my dad wasn't an athlete, but he was with me on the journey. And, you know, we saw some places. And, you know, I said, hey, you know, teams want me to play some college football. So, you know, we looked into that. And then, yeah, I mean, the goal, you know, growing up in Dallas, I grew up literally 5 minutes from Valley Ranch where the Cowboys practiced when they were winning all those Super Bowls. So, like, that had been awesome to play for the Cowboys. You know, everyone thinks that, you know, right. Aikman back to pass, stuff like that. And, you know, it fell in my lap. So I played a little high school, went to college, played some every year. We were okay. Miami has a great program.
It's Miami of Ohio, right?
Yeah, Miami University. And they've got a great program. I wish we were a little better. Part of that was me being a young player too. But and then arena football, you know, I came home from a little mini camp with the Bengals and I was working in a moving warehouse and arena football fell in my lap. One of my bosses, Eric Anderson, great guy, was involved with arena football as a player when he was younger and then as a coach when I, you know, when it happened. And he brought me out to practice one day from the warehouse and it's been a good, fun, long ride so far.
Yeah, he was with the Vigilantes. It was the Dallas Vigilantes there, right? When he was the
Eric.
The assistant, Eric. Mm-hmm. So you have that tryout coming from working, was it a loading company, like a moving company?
Yeah, it was Daryl Flood, moving and logistics at the time. It was a Mayflower subsidiary, I remember it, you know, and I worked for a moving company for a long time, even in the off season. And so I know, you know, arena football is fun, you know, it's fun to get away from the warehouse and stuff. And I know a lot of guys are able to, you know, you have to be able to work a job and do things like that,
right,
and make it work. And this arena football is a fun game. It's a fun family that's developed. Like I said, it fell in my lap, and I wouldn't trade it for the world, man.
You had that. You mentioned you had to try out with the Bengals out of college. So more nervous to try out for the Bengals fresh out of college or for that tryout with the Arena Football League because you know, you're in the real world now.
Yeah.
And you look at this as, well, maybe I got another off ramp here to keep playing.
Yeah. And, okay. So coming out of college, I didn't play too much my senior year. We weren't, you know, we started out, we got skunked. I played poorly in the first two games and we had a new coaching staff and he made a big switch, played a lot of freshmen and it was for the, you know, he definitely made the right move because the next year they went 10-1 and got ranked and my buddy, I lost my job to Zach Dysart, you know, was a good player, played in the NFL a little bit, bounced around a little bit. But so I didn't think, you know, after college, maybe nothing was really going to happen. And I wasn't really training or anything. And then a couple teams had contacted me like, hey, we're going to come to Pro Day. We kind of want to see you work out. So I did my best to get in a little bit of shape. I actually played in like an all-star game in Ohio. I don't even remember the name of it. It was a North-South Ohio game, something like that. And I got hit pretty good. Like I don't know what I did. Like, but I was sore going into this rookie training camp. The Bengals were like, "Hey, do you want to come?" And I was like, "Wow, yeah, sure." And sure enough, you know, two other teams called too, Cowboys and the Raiders, or I think it was the Raiders. Two other teams actually called and invited me, and I said, "I'm going to go to the Bengals one," because the Cowboys actually had like a local day too, like a pro day.
Right.
And I had a pretty good day that day. I thought, I wasn't banged up yet, but I thought I spun it pretty good. And they called me back like, hey, you had a good one. Won't come to minicamp. But I told the Bengals I was coming, but I was banged up. You know, I wasn't feeling too hot. Didn't have a great workout, so I wasn't too nervous, to be honest with you, there. You know, I didn't really think. I was like, man, if I can make this team, wait till I get good, I might play. You know, who knows? You got to be confident to play sports at a very high level. But then when the arena football thing happened, like, I didn't know too much about it. Like, I knew there was a video game. I'd played the video game over the years, and I'd seen it on TV, and I knew that the team had come back, like the Vigilantes. It was kind of a reboot.
Right.
But I didn't know too much about it. And when he brought me out there, you know, I didn't know, you know, the motion or the timing or the anticipation and stuff like that. You know, I could just throw football and like to play ball and compete. He brought me out there, and I played off the card the first day, meaning, you know, they hold up the card. This guy runs an in, this guy runs an out, this guy runs a go, and, you know, on the quarterback, you know, throw it to one of these guys, right? And the scout, and I didn't know, had no feel for it. And it really is an art to play this game. And when it works really well, like, you've watched it, you know, it's beautiful when it works. You know, the receiver hits it, it does his little dip in motion at the perfect depth. Gets the DB to bite or stop his feet, and you hit him in stride with one of those teardrops in the corner. You know, the lineman, there's only three of them blocking, so it literally is almost a sack every play, but that's perfect protection too. So, like, it really is. So, and then as a young kid playing off the car, didn't know what I was doing. And I sat on the bench probably a blessing for six games that year, and then I got into it. But I don't think I was too nervous for either one because I don't know if I ever thought either one would really – mold into what really has happened. So I took it stride by stride, and I tried to take today stride by stride too, man. You know, you never know. We may not have practice tomorrow the way this league has been the last few years. You know, it really is up and down.
Yeah.
So you really have to go out there with the mindset like, let's get it done. You know, this year really matters every year. So
Now, your head coach in Dallas was Clint Dozell, who's the sole head coach right now. Is that correct? Your second year in Dallas?
My second year, yeah, in 2011. So 2010, James Fuller was the coach at the time. He was actually the interim coach at that time.
Mm-hmm.
But there were some other guys involved. Shane Stafford, who is the AC in Atlantic City right now, was actually quarterback on that Dallas team and had gotten hurt early in the season and was helping out coaching still. And I showed up, and I remember Shane helping out. But there were some good names on that team from the leagues earlier. Coach Bogle was on that team.
Okay.
I threw Phil his last touchdown.
Did you really?
Yes, I did. I started the last game of the season in Bossier City against the Bossier City Battle Wings. The Dallas Vigilantes against the Bossier City Battle Wings in a shootout. And I had no idea what I was doing, and I threw 8 touchdowns. And I said, man, this game is a blast. We're in the locker room, you know. And, I mean, if you know anything about arena football, man, it's the all-fun league, too. It's the AFL, all-fun league. And they're not afraid to crack a beer or two in the locker room after the game or something. And, you know, the Dallas team had struggled all year, and they kind of threw me in there, and we won. And they were, you know, it felt like we won the championship. So it was really fun. So, like I said, this has been awesome.
So that's when you connect with Clint, who you've been with since 2011, right? Because you both ended up here in Philadelphia.
2010, James Fuller's the coach.
Right.
And we play that last game. We win.
Right.
And the offseason comes, and Clint actually gets the head coaching job at halftime of the last home game, which is the second to last game.
Okay.
They announce that he's going to be the head coach. I remember Coach Fuller being like, well, dang. But rightfully so. You know, Clint Dozell's pretty dang good coach.
Yes.
Yes. And he calls me in the offseason. He goes, hey, man, I watched that game you played. You played well. I can tell you're young. I like what you got. You know, we're going to bring you into camp. I was like, cool, man. He's like, all right, meet me at the Whataburger by the Bass Pro Shop, and we'll sign your contract. And I said, that's 5 minutes by my house. I'll be there. He said, all right, I'm pulling in. I'll see you in a minute. And that's where it got started, man.
Did you feel an immediate, like, you guys were on the same wavelength? Not just as people, but football, that you guys were seeing things the same way?
I mean, shoot, I didn't know much about arena football at all. You know, I was still so green. But, you know, I mean, I knew who he was. I'd seen him in commercials and on billboards, and I knew the Dallas Desperados and stuff. And I thought, hey, man, it's pretty cool. Because, I mean, I knew, you know, I did 2 months in arena football, so I got a little taste of it. Mm-hmm. I learned a little bit about it, but I still didn't know what I was doing. You don't know what you're doing for 3 or 4, 5, 10 years, for real, to be honest. You know, the game's changing now.
Right.
You know, so I said, hey, cool. But, I mean, I wasn't the guy either right away. Training camp, you know, there was 3 of us in there. And then within, you know, first 10 days, probably, one guy got hurt. One guy had an emergency at home. And
lo and behold,
I started, 150 straight, something like that, something close, you know, 10 straight years of playoffs, nine years with playoffs and stuff. So, you know, no better guy to learn from.
No, absolutely.
And he taught from the ground up to, you know, the little flick passes, those little hot routes, the bubble screens, the little stuff that, you know, only we do. That's what he taught first. He said, you can throw the ball. He said, I'll teach you how and when and why. And, you know, once we figured it out a little bit, I mean, it's easy to him. He could still play, I bet.
I believe that.
I believe it, too.
Yeah.
His attitude alone will win him games.
Yeah. Yeah, no question about it. What was the toughest transition to arena from a purely mechanics standpoint? What was the most difficult thing for you to change up front to get used to the indoor game?
It's definitely like the throwing platforms and the base and, you know, because think about it, all these kids, they work on the drops. Well, everyone's plays from the shotgun now, too. Which I imagine now would be the biggest transition. But for me, I played under center as a kid. We ran power.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, we ran play action and counter and bootleg and waggle and stuff like that. And so that was cool. I was cool under center. I was good with 3-step drop and stuff like that. But then the throwing off balance on purpose and stuff, like, that's kind of different. But at the same time, too, I was a big-time baseball player. I loved baseball. So, man, I was outside with my mitt and my, you know, it didn't matter, tennis ball, rubber ball, baseball, super ball. If you want to, you know, you really want to work on your grounding skills, you get that ball that you don't know where it's going to bounce. And so I was out there, you know, working on backhand throwing, jumping in the hole. So I thought, as I fall away from the mic,
that's
and stuff,
all good.
But I picked it up pretty quick. And that's Clint said I picked it up pretty quick. And, you know, I'm, like I told you, though, I still feel like I'm learning things now. You know, we're tweaking stuff every day in practice. So that's the beautiful, like I said, it's art. It's never complete. It's always evolving, and timing, accuracy, and just that's what the biggest trend I see for young kids is timing. Just it happens so fast. Coach might say five-step drop when really it's your feet may never cross. You know, and you talk, you hear Jaws break down all these quarterbacks, and he's great at it. Mm-hmm. And he can still spin it too now. He'll come and throw it around, and he can still zip it all right pretty good, man. I'm telling you. He's a good athlete. Got a good golf swing still too. And, you know, you see him break these down, and I've been up there at NFL Films before with him and Cosell and all these guys, and they break this stuff down, and fundamentals is big. Like, if you have time and you can really just step back and really step into it and zing it, man, those NFL guys and stuff like that, I mean, you know, Tommy Grady, those guys can really zing it. And that's, you know, that should be second nature, though. But that arena football, that was weird fallback over the jack before the rounded end zone type balls, those are the ones that, you know, you just kind of have to, some guys got them, some guys right. don't. It's hard to, you know, it's hard to teach that if you don't just naturally kind of have that. Mm-hmm. And that's why, you know, some of the best quarterbacks in the world, you know, probably couldn't play arena football. But some of the best arena football players, you know, probably couldn't translate to the outdoor football game.
So you come to Philadelphia 2012 when Clint comes here. He's the OC the first year, correct? Was there any hesitation with you coming to Philadelphia? Or were you like, when it was approached, you're like, I'm in?
Yeah, I was definitely like, where are we going? Because, I mean, we would love to have played in Dallas. That was great. That was awesome. I mean, it was mom and dad, all my buddies are at the games. And, you know, it was right there. I could still work. And, you know, that had been great. Our team was getting scary good, too. And, you know, it didn't work.
Well, did they fold or they just suspended? Folded.
I think they tried to suspend and move, and they got, I don't think they came to terms with the league on all that. So he shut it down, and, you know, that didn't work out. You know, I love all those guys. They were good to all of us. And then, so, yeah, he says, hold on, don't do nothing. I still had an agent at the time, and he actually told me, you know, Mike Hohensey, who was the head coach in Philly, was now in Iowa and tried to recruit me there. Bogle tried to recruit me to Philly in 11 when he was coaching from Dallas. Mm-hmm. And I remember that. And they called me in 12, like, hey, we saw Dallas folded. Do you guys want to come up here? And Clint said, I've already talked to him. We're working something out. We'll figure it out. And they said, all right, we're going to go to Philly. And I said, let's do it. And like I told you, we had a good team, had some core guys, good nucleus, and what, how many, 8, 11? I can't remember the exact number, but there was a bunch of us who came.
Mm-hmm.
And our 12 team might be one of the best arena football teams ever. They're really good.
Yeah, I mean, you guys have been good since you guys have been here. I mean, it's only thing that's really hurt you guys is injuries. I mean, you've had some years where you've been hammered by them.
Yeah, we've been hammered by them. I mean, we got coach, we got fighting chance, man.
Yeah.
He's going to put us in good spots. And, I mean, he just knows this game. He don't wear a headset. You notice that?
Mm-hmm. That's a good point, yeah.
I mean, he just goes out there and wings it.
Yeah.
He's every situation, we're ready. You know, I mean, I can't, you could probably count on your hand how many times we might have been outcoached. And maybe. He'll argue to his death as he could.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So when you come here in 12, and I know kind of the nature of the league and all, but did you think this is a place?
There's like 25 teams back then.
Yeah. Whole different world.
Yeah.
Did you look at it as this is a place I could set up a shingle here for a while, or was are you not really thinking that far ahead? You're just
I signed a 3-year deal.
Okay.
2 or 3-year deal at the time, which, you know, says, hey, you know, I'm here to let's win. Let's put something together. But my little sister actually was living here. She went to art school in Georgia, graduated working up at Urban Outfitters.
Okay.
Over there in the old Naval Yard. What's it? Anthropology. And she said, we have an arena football team. Have you thought about playing for them? I said, you know what? Actually, they recruited me. She said, come visit. I came up, and, you know, that's when I got to meet Ron. And you can't meet Jaws and not like talking football with Ron Jaworski, man. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
That's, you know, he took me up to NFL Films. You know, they had to drag my jaw. I had dragging my jaw on the floor, man. Just the wall of Emmys when you walk in there.
Right.
It's awesome. And, you know, I don't wear my cowboy stuff, though. I leave that at home when I come up. But, you know, yeah, I said, they want to win. Let's win. So we jumped on board. And, you know, luckily, we've been successful enough where they want to keep me around. So got to win again this year to see if they want to do it again.
So you mentioned how long you could play for before you feel comfortable in the indoor game. When did you feel like you kind of hit a point? Not that you're not ever stopped getting better, but when you hit a point when you were like, all right, I really know what I'm doing here. I can go 2-3 checks down the road. And, you know, how long did that take to get to that point?
I don't know. I think in 2013 is really when, like, I started feeling good about things. Like, Clint and I started, you know, I felt confident going over there asking for stuff. There was a run in 2013, I remember, and we had some veterans on that team, too, at receiver especially. And, you know, I'm a younger kid. I ain't played much. I got to tell them what to do. And that's kind of where I felt like, you know, I could bark at them a little bit. And it was not like I'm barking to get a response. It's I'm barking because this is how it has to be done. I know what I'm doing a little bit. And I remember there was one play in specific. We're playing Cleveland at Cleveland in 13. And Andre Thurman is playing wide receiver, and he's a vet. He played with Clint, so he knew what he was doing, too. He lined up wrong formation-wise, and I told him to get his you-know-what out there. And I heard a D lineman say, oh, yeah, that a boy quarterback. And, you don't think of that, but, like, I was, you know, I knew what we were doing. I knew what we wanted to do. I mean, that's just one little thing, but that's something, you know, I'm confident in what I'm doing.
The little things sometimes, yeah, and more than the big ones.
I think there was a stretch there in 13 where it was probably like 200 passes or something. It was, I don't know what it was. It was like 11 games or something where it was no, like, I don't think a defender touched the ball or was even close to it. We were smoking people. And I felt good about, you know, that's when I was like, okay, I know what I'm doing. You're not going to do anything to fool me. And I mean, the speed of this game, the nature of this game, the size of the field, the fast as everyone is, you know, mistakes are going to happen already. Just it's the nature of it. You know, balls are going to get tipped. Guys are going to be covered. Sometimes AstroTurf. Man, you ever try to run on AstroTurf? It's hard to walk on AstroTurf sometimes. It'll just trip. There's an art to this thing, man, I'm telling you. And as fast as it is, the weird elements, the you know, it's a niche sport, right? It's different. You know, there's quirky stuff, right? You know, interceptions, fumbles, bar balls, they're going to happen already, the nature of it. So if you can eliminate that by just knowing what you're doing, then you can start being efficient. That's when you can try those little flip passes, and then, you know, you start playing the defense like a puppet. Come here, watch the bubble screen, watch the tight end, watch the running back. Oh, Darius Prince over top, long ball. It works sometimes, man.
Time for a break. We will have more of our conversation with Philadelphia Soul quarterback Dan Rattleball when One-on-One continues right after this.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back, and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back here on One-on-One, continuing our conversation with Philadelphia Soul quarterback Dan Rattleball. As you've developed as a quarterback, is there a type of receiver that you feel like you work better with? And I don't know, but do you find yourself as guys come through that there's a certain type of receiver that you just seem to have a more inherent chemistry with?
All right, if you can't tell by now, I'm long-winded already. I could talk all day, and now we're going to talk about wide receivers in a wide receiver league. All right. I've been blessed to play with some of the best. Tiger Jones, man, Tiger Jones was awesome. Mm-hmm. And especially being such a young guy, me, quarterback, not knowing what I'm doing, to have a veteran like Tiger who played in the old league with a great quarterback like Chris Gryson, a Clint Dalzell protege. It all goes back to Coach Dalzell.
It's really, he's really one does. Of those guys in this league that it's like 6 degrees of Clint Dalzell. Yep, absolutely.
Yep. And it's going to grow.
Mm-hmm.
Watch. Give it 10 years. Watch. Watch Patrick O'Brien. DraftKings alert.
Yep.
Watch, I'm telling you. He can play. To play with Tiger, first off, Tiger, veteran player. Me, not knowing what I'm doing. Tiger's favorite phrase when I was younger, I'll never forget, is just try it. Just try it. You know, here, like, there's a play called Rage Right 50 Y Corner. It's supposed to be a five-step drop by the quarterback. The wide receiver in motion is the Y. It's Tiger. It's an isolation route. It's him in motion. The other two receivers are on the wall. He's got a 17-yard run your best route, but meet in the corner. And the quarterback's supposed to throw it in the back corner. 1 yard off each wall, so you have time to catch it, brace yourself, and hit the wall, and, you know, not going Mach 5. So that's what it's supposed to look like, but Coach might call it from the 17-yard line, where that's not going to work. So Tiger said, just take a shuffle and just bloop it back there. I said, that's not going to work. He said, just try it. I go back there, say, shuffle, shuffle, bloop ball, Tiger juke move. I've already thrown it. I'm like, there's no way. He comes flying out of this thing, perfect, over the shoulder, right in the corner. He catches it. Tiger's known for dancing, if you remember Tiger Jones. He strikes up the band or something, punts the ball. He looks at me. He goes, I told you, just try. So a veteran like Tiger, and Tiger, you know, I think his first year with it, he caught 177 balls. So he had no problem being fed. So throw it into coverage. He helped me out a lot, made me a better player. Then we had Marco. Marco was a different guy, man. Very different. Had his own little quirkiness. And he changed the way we run routes now. We tell our receivers to use a bit of an inside angle because that's what Marco did naturally. He couldn't explain it. We didn't figure it out for about a month. But once we did, Marco was dang near unstoppable.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you what, Marco Thomas was tough too, because that year Ryan was recovering from an Achilles surgery. SK was his first year with us, so he was still learning. And then I think Marco went in motion about 3 out of every 4 plays. And you have to be tough to play wide receiver in this league, man. For one, you got AstroTurf. For two, you're going into the wall. And we ask you to go into that wall sometimes, you know.
Right.
Sell out. And then three, we run the short stuff. So when the short passes, there's 8 guys involved, really, on defense. You know, the D lineman can tackle you too. So you got to be tough. So Marco was tough. And then money comes along. And then the
Darius
whole
Reynolds.
Soul changed. Yeah, Darius Reynolds comes along. Then he goes by Money. We call him
right.
Money. So Money comes along. And the whole soul culture changed, too. Money didn't just bring, you know, receiver. Money brought something to him. He was special. And that power he plays with and that attitude. But he's also soft-spoken and leads with action. And the men really rallied around him, too. And like I said, man, he made it easy. Hey, I got it. I said, all right, buddy, you got it. You want it, you got it. Here it comes. And I remember our first play in practice, he was playing in the boundary. He was playing Y. He had a standstill streak route, a go route. Right 50, wing cross, Z bench. On one, ready to break. We broke the huddle, and I said, I'm throwing it to you. He goes, all right. And he takes off and caught a 45-yard touchdown. So he made it real. Ever since then, it's been going pretty good. And watch for Money Reynolds to make a big splash when he comes back. But, those have been the head honcho guys, but it's the other guys that really make it work. The Sean Kalina Mokus, the Aaron Washes, the Lonnie Outlaws, the Darius Princes, the Ryan McDaniels. Boy, Ryan McDaniel and I had a connection too.
Yeah.
Great, good friend of mine. Just talked to me the other day. Him and his girl are expecting a baby here very soon.
Very nice.
Shout out to my guy. Little baby girl. How crazy is that? Crazy little firecracker Ryan. That's perfect. I hope he has all girls. You know, and then there were some guys my younger age, too. Matt Fields, DeAndre Rubin, Andre Thurman, Boogie Brackens. You know, just to name a few. I could go forever about the guys that have played receiver for me. But, yeah, you know, as they come in, you know, they all have little nuances that mm-hmm. that we mold and blend into what we're doing, you know. We're building, you know, it's a steel, it's a metal, it's a you know, it's a bridge. You know, we're putting all this together. And as you put all these things in here, you know, different combinations make different strengths. So, you know, we got different packages too. You know, Lonnie Outlaw used to be predominantly a red zone receiver. Now he's finding his way as a you know, a threat in the field. And he's what, been around 4 or 5 years?
Mm-hmm.
So you know that it takes forever to learn this game for real. He's just learning it too. And so I can't say enough. They go into the wall, man, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that at all. I love you guys. Keep it up, man. You know, coach does a good job protecting them too. We run an offense that's very receiver friendly. You know, we don't have a Joe Hills who's going to catch 200 passes for 2,500 yards and 50 touchdowns. We've got three guys that are going to catch 75 for about 1,400 and,
right.
and 20. Now, the game is, like I told you, the game's changing. You know, 45 points, 50 points is a good night. So the numbers aren't going to be nearly as gaudy. But, you know, our numbers, our guys, all three of our guys get to eat. So they like to play in our offense.
As you really emerge in the AFL as one of the best, if not the best quarterback in the league, do you get any calls from the NFL along the way saying, hey, do you want to come in, take a look? Or do you hit a point where you're like, I'm really good at this and I want to stick with this?
I haven't got a call or, you know, really any interest in years. There was, when I was younger, I think there was a little interest. You know, Ron got me a workout after a game. He had got me a workout with a couple teams. It was a Saturday morning. We had played Spokane the night before. And then the next day, me and a couple guys had go throw in at the NovaCare. Had a good workout. But, you know, I think my ship has sailed there. The NFL, not for long.
You okay with that?
Yeah. You know, I've had a blast. The AFL has been really, really good to me. I've met a lot of great people, had a blast. And, you know, hopefully when I'm done playing, hopefully Coach and I can win a couple more. You know, that would be ideal. You know, I'd love to go down. I'd love to break all his records, rubbing his face. Not really rubbing his face, but thank him greatly for all the help in breaking his records. I hopefully when that's all done, you know, I'd love to help out, you know, coach it. You know, GM, you know, I'd love to be commissioner of the whole thing. I love this game. Yeah. I love it.
And what's great about you, one of the things I've noticed is I've really covered the league the last 5, 6, 7 years. There's a group of 4 or 5 quarterbacks
that have us.
But you've been the guy in Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
These other guys, they all play and they get there. But because a little bit of the nature of the league and how things have played out, they've bounced around.
Mm-hmm.
You've been an institution in Philadelphia. How much pride do you take in that?
Man, we play for Philly. We like playing for Philly. You know, Mets and I are good buddies. And you know, Mets.
Mm-hmm. Philly.
He loves it. And we were sitting around and we were talking about it because, you know, the offseason just got done, you know. You talk to some other guys. You hear some stuff, you know. And Mets and I were sitting around talking. We were talking about it. And Mets goes, man, we play for Philly. And that's how I feel, man. I play for Philly. You know, I don't want to play for anyone else. I want to play here. And, you know, you don't want to look down the road or whatever. You know, who knows? Philly's never around or whatever. You know, whatever happens, happens. But I'd love to be in one spot. You know, I think Coach would have loved to have been in one spot his whole time, too. But, you know, he played on teams that folded or bounced around.
Right.
You never know with trades or whatever, too, you know. Hopefully I can stay on his good side. But, yeah, you know, I do take pride in that. And, you know, other teams take notice, too, when they see Philly on the schedule. They know who's coming to town.
Right.
They know what.
Now, there's a brand to Philadelphia sure. Like there is with no other team, I think, in arena football.
Yeah, and I mean, you talk about it, you know, the other guy that immediately comes to mind is Nick Davila. So unfortunate what happened to him after leaving his team in Arizona for a long time to go play for Washington after his team was no longer in the AFL and he didn't want to play in the other league. You know, he comes back to the AFL and unfortunately has a terrible injury in Philly against us as we're beating them. You know, it shows you the fight in the guy not giving up on a fourth down play, which they converted. So, you know, he played in Arizona all those years. I can think of all those games we had against those guys. And you think Philly, Arizona, you know, you'd love to see teams like San Jose stick around. You know, I think Eric would have loved to have played there for a long time. I think Tommy would have loved to have stuck in Utah forever.
Right.
I think they had a good thing going. That 1 year he threw 140-something touchdown. Get out of here. That record will never be touched. Unless they go back to 18 games and the timing rule.
Right.
That record, put it in the sports books. That's the most. I mean, I don't know how many people could tell you the record for most touchdowns in arena football season. But I don't think anyone's going to touch that one. But, I mean, Tommy, you know, he's another guy. Randy, I think Randy would have loved to have stayed in Tampa or Orlando.
Right.
But, you know, there's another guy, too. I think if there were more teams, I think guys like Shane Austin would still be playing there. But, you know, the league needs some new blood at that position too. And you look at it, teams that have struggled, you know, in the past. You know, I don't want to say, you know, Columbus right now is 0-4 with a rookie quarterback who doesn't know what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, he's making some electric plays, but he's making rookie mistakes too.
Yeah.
And, you know, in this game, you have to be efficient on offense, especially with the lack of possessions with the new rules. You got to score, man.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, you know, one stop might happen just off the nature of the thing. Tip ball, you know, a stop, you know, you shouldn't get stopped on downs. For real, shouldn't. But, you know, something happens, okay, one time, maybe two, but like three or four or five, that starts happening, like, then you're going to get beat handedly. And I mean, especially against a team like Albany. But the league needs some new lifeblood, and, you know, I've been fortunate to keep my butt here in Philly. And, you know, it's not just me, too. You know, every year we bring back good players.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You guys have
you
bring a core of 6, 8, 10 guys from year to year that, like I said, you guys have a brand that I think doesn't exist anywhere else in the league like it does in Philadelphia.
Yeah, man. And like you said, man, you take pride playing for Philly. You like it. You know, when you come over that bridge or you roll up to that Wells Fargo and get off that bus and you play us, yeah, you see that soul blue. And it's not super intimidating, but, you know, if you know anything about arena football, you know what it means.
Yeah.
You know, you better strap up, bring a lunch pail, because our defense is going to be in your hip pocket all night, and then our offense, you better keep up for the most part. So, I love it. You know, I don't want to play anywhere else. You know, Coach Tozell's got a good thing going. Ron Jaworski, all of our owners, Cosmo, Stu, all these guys, they're all great. So,
two-time Arena Bowl champ, back-to-back. What is the different feeling hoisting the trophy? The first time when you get to the top of the mountaintop, but then there's got to be a special satisfaction coming back and doing it a second straight year. How do you compare and contrast it? Or I don't even know contrast, but how do those two feelings compare?
There ain't nothing like the first time, you know? And that one was real special because it was in their house against them. And we beat them pretty good. You know, we were running the clock out at the end with the old arena rules where it was hard to run the clock out.
Right.
We got to get forward progress, you know? So, I mean, when that's happening and you're shoving it down their throat and stuff, and, I mean, they'd had our number.
That was Arizona, right? Rattlers?
They'd beat us in, what, 5 or 6 straight mm-hmm. games, 2 championships before, beat the brakes off us in 2 championships, like bad.
Mm-hmm.
And to go down there and win that one in their place, when I think in their 2 playoff games before, they scored 80-something points in both games. So they're, you know, they're like 15-point favorites. Clint and I, that 16 team was really good. And Clint and I liked what we had. We felt good about it. We went into Clint and I were confident. I felt good. I had a good mm-hmm. game. You know, he called a good game. I liked what, you know, when we both go in feeling good about stuff, you know, good things normally happen.
Right.
And we felt good about it. I knew Brian was coming back from a little banged up. Money was really rolling. And then if there's anybody running with ice water around in his veins, it's the little Hawaiian. That dude's tough, man. And the moment's never too big for his, you know, he's not a big guy, but he comes up big when we need him. And that 16 game, man, that was awesome to beat them handedly and then hold that trophy up. And my now fiance was there. It was a really good time. And yeah, then the to defend it, that's what it is. It's that we got it. You want it. Come get it. You can't have it.
Right.
Our 17 team, you know, we almost went undefeated. Only had one slip up in Baltimore, and we were throwing at the end zone as time expired. Like, ooh, I think they snuck out of there with one, you know? So the 17 team was willing to meet power with power, you know? And that 16 team, I think, had some lightning in a bottle, and we used it. You know, we were really opportunistic. We played well off turnovers and stuff like that. But our 17 team, you know, we came in there with our foot on the pedal, and, you know, uncharacteristic there, that championship game playing from behind, that 17 year, I think we beat everybody pretty bad. So mm-hmm. that playing from behind was a tough win, and I got hurt. So that was its own little kind of, that felt like a Philly win. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? It wasn't real high scoring. It was kind of battle of punches, big blows back and forth. You know, we got a late touchdown to take the lead, but then they had a kickoff return touchdown or something like that. So, oh, that type of stuff. So after that one, you know, you kind of took a big breath, like, oh, gosh, yeah. And then we had a letdown last year. So that punch in the teeth kind of wakes you back up. And, you know, we lost this game, this last game. Oh, man, shouldn't have lost that one. You ask all 24-hour guys, they'll tell you the same thing. And so we're using it, you know. Got to bring the energy this week in Baltimore, but there was nothing like that first one. That first championship probably holds a little more weight. If we're going to wear two, you know, if I had to only choose one of the rings to wear around, I'm going to wear the first one. The second one's got a little more bling, but I'm going to wear the first one.
What is your favorite part of being the quarterback for an Arena League team? Is it coming out of the locker room to the start of the game? Is it that first huddle? Is it that last huddle at the end of the game? If you had to, what part of the experience is just the most intense and then the most?
Man, it's when you know, I like the whole process is really fun. You know, I like practicing. You know, some guys don't like practicing. I like to practice. That's where you get better. That's where you work on your new plays. That's where you work on your accuracy or those off-balance throws and stuff like that. You know, that's where you tweak it and you get better at arena football. The game should be easy. The game should be reading and reacting. You know, if you're forcing things in the game, you know, that's when Coach and I are arguing back and forth. He's forcing calls. He wants it to happen. When he's in the mood, man, he's ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. You know, I'm going back to the huddle with 20 seconds on the play clock. He was ready. He had one ready, stuff like that. And so there's something about arena football that is, it's just, I love arena football. And there's nothing like it, being in the huddle right before you go down on, and it's hard to explain it, right? You're supposed to have the ball last. You're supposed to be losing and have the epic moment at the end of arena football game every time.
Mm-hmm.
That's what arena football is. It's supposed to go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And when coach is really flowing, touchdown, touchdown, touchdown. And then that last drive, when it's like, okay, I know we're going to score. But it goes back to practice when you rep that play over and over. And our DBs broke it up. They broke it up. They broke it up. They broke it up. But then we got it in there that one time. You remember what it felt like. And then coach calls that play on fourth down in the fourth quarter with 4 seconds left to win it. And the guy's eyes, you know, the linemen know what's coming. The running back knows what's coming. The receiver in motion knows what's coming. And then it happens. That's the best feeling. And I don't know. It's hard. The best arena football is old. I can't argue any of it. I love it all. I wouldn't trade it. I like being a quarterback in arena football, man. I don't want to go back to work or anything like that. I want to play arena football quarterback. But that fourth quarter huddle, man, that's probably the best one. And when you see their face after they score, too, when you see the lineman cock his arms back in the air and let out one of those big Goliath screams, that's a good feeling.
You and we talk so much
if
about...
If I get fired up in this, I'm sorry.
That's
can
all
you
right.
Tell a little bit? Like I lost it. My train of thought. I was like, man, I can't figure my favorite part of arena football.
We've talked so much about the relationship with you and Clint. You guys have spent so much time together. Out of 100 plays during the course of a game, a couple games, how often do you already have an idea what he's going to tell you to do or what you're going to go with? Would it be like 95 out of 100? Are you guys that close? Or is it, does he surprise you sometimes with some of the things he...
No, I'm not getting surprised by anything we're running. we've changed so many things too over the years that he'll stumble over calls now. Like the motions are all different, you know, right, Y bag, Z inside, you know, he'll mix that up and then I got to rearrange that as I go in. But like, I'll ask for things. Hey, run choice, double post, cross, bench, broom, you know, I'll ask for things. And he's like, yeah. You know, a lot of the times if I'm asking for it, he's not going to fight it. You know, if you're calling a good game or sometimes I'll go over there, hey, how about this? He'll say, would you shut up? Fired up, you know, let me think. And when he's really feeling it too, man, he's got one ready. He's got his little sheet up to his face calling it out as I'm coming at him. Double post, tell him to run it 10 yards deeper. And boom, touchdown. Like, whoa, how did you know that? So I don't know. I mean, if we were to sit there, like when we break down film, a lot of times that's when you know you're on the same page, when you're breaking film down and you say, ooh, I like this, or ooh, I like this, or ooh, what if we did this? And he's like, yep. And I can tell we got some young guys in and out the rotation these days, you know, so we're doing a lot more film with these guys. He'll call me or I'll call him and, oh, I like that. Oh, I like that. And he'll send me, he's not the most tech savvy guy. He'll send me a picture of his whiteboard on his phone. I'm like, okay, I like it. It's funny, but once he gets in football mode, man, he gets it going. But I mean, we think, you know, our stuff's not too fancy. We only run so many plays. So a lot of times I know what's coming, but if I were to say a number, yeah, probably, you know, 7 out of 10, 6 or 7 out of 10. we game plan some stuff. Like against Washington, there was a couple of times he'll just start the play, and I'm on my way back to the huddle like, yep, that's what I wanted. Yep, cool, bye. So, and normally when that's working, it's good stuff. You know, it's those 1, 2, 3, 4 play drives where it's boom, 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 rhythm, 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 rhythm. So we got to figure out some stuff in the red zone right now. I can tell he's working over some stuff right now. It should be working. It's not as easy as it should be, he thinks. So it's all second nature to him. Like I told you, he thinks he could still play. He said, I didn't need a helmet when I played. I didn't hold it. I remember one time I got hit. My helmet flew off. It caught my nose. My nose is bleeding. I goes, my nose bleeding? He goes, yeah. Trips left, 50, double post. I was like, geez, all right. I love it, man.
Do you think – I've been surprised that arena football hasn't taken a bigger step forward as far as crowds, fans. Now, I feel like on the right path now, and it's
yeah,
slowly –
Yeah, Philly does well.
Yeah, Philly does. Where do you think would be some places where the league could help itself as far as getting to a wider audience?
All right. I've seen a lot of arena football now over the years. You know, we've been to some cool places, you know. And arena football, it is niche-y. You know, it's got to be in the right spot. The right type of people come to, you know, you got to come. And Philly's got an arena football bunch. You know, it's kind of a nitty-gritty bunch. And, you know, Philly's a good spot. You know, Dallas was okay. I thought Arizona was really good. You know, if they could get some of the stalwarts to come back, you know, the Florida teams, you could get Orlando. Orlando was really strong. Jacksonville, Tampa Bay, stuff like that. You know, I think they're right to keep it all kind of regional a little bit. Mm-hmm. I'm sure they're saving money cost-wise, not flying. It's got to cost a lot of money to fly 30, 35 people and a bunch of gear across the country, right?
Right.
I mean, I would imagine tons of money.
Yeah.
I'm not the budget guy. But I imagine that would cost a lot of money, and I don't think it costs nearly as much to drive to Baltimore 90 minutes away.
Right.
So, you know, I think they're doing right with that. You know, it's only six teams. It's a great game, and I remember the motto in Dallas was you got to see it live. It's a good motto, right? You come to arena football games.
No, absolutely.
It's a blast.
It is.
It's a blast. I can't wait to go to Columbus. I can't wait. They used to do really well. I hope it's rocking. Cleveland was rocking. I don't see why Columbus wouldn't be. Albany's jamming. Got the right ownership and group there, right? Atlantic City looks to be doing okay. That's a really cool arena. That's a really cool arena. And that's what you need, man. I remember we played a few over at the PPL up in, Lehigh Valley?
Yeah, in Allentown, yeah.
Man, that place is cool. It's a great arena, football arena. That's what they should be, about 10,000 big. You know, so if you do get 5 or 6 or 7,000 in there, it's jamming.
Right.
That's what it should be. Because arena football is supposed to be loud. And, you know, when we go play in Baltimore, it's going to be quiet. It's going to be quiet.
Yeah.
So it's different. But, I mean, so you want to keep it kind of regional. You know, Chicago, Nashville, those are good old arena football towns.
Mm-hmm.
Chicago, the last few years, no one came to those games, though. So I don't know. You know, you got to put a good product on the field. I hope Columbus can win some games. I wish I would have beat Albany. It would be great, right?
Yeah.
Big dog comes into town. You get a big win. Free beer next week or something. You know, why not? I know. Okay, so there's a team in the NAL, which is one of the other, the lower leagues. They did like a $30 or $40 all-you-can-drink beer special for a half. How many colleges are in the Philly area? Do college night, $5 tickets, whatever. Load it up, man. Because once I get in there... Boom, they start betting on the DraftKings. How cool is that?
Yeah.
Now, we can't do it. We're not allowed to do it. I'm not a big sports bettor anyways because that's my money. I don't make enough.
Right.
You can't have it. I'm not gambling. I don't make enough to gamble. But that's cool. That's a great exposure for the league.
No, and that is something I think that can transcend to different audiences.
Yeah, and I think this can really help. So I think you look at some of these markets, look where gambling's high. I'm sure L.A., Chicago, Vegas, shoot, put two teams in those places. The DraftKings versus the, what's the other one? I don't know. DraftKings is the only one I know
that
sponsors the league, so I'm not even going to say another one. But, you know, get all these guys involved, whatever, have a battle. But, you know, you got to get fans in the stands. ESPN has done a good job. They picked up the streaming, whatever, which is good, man. That's great. I love that. That's easy access to it. Now, I don't know, you got to pay for ESPN through cable or whatever, but. It's the home of sports, right? It's the mecca. It's the mothership. So anytime you work with those guys, it's a great thing. So, I mean, I hope they can get it in the right spots. That's what it is. I think the right guys are in place.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Bo, Jaworski, John Adams, Stu, all those guys are helping with expansion, and they're doing right. So, Godspeed, man. Do right.
Dan Radabaugh, Philadelphia Soul quarterback. Thanks for coming in.
Yeah, hey, man. Sorry for talking so much.
That's what we're here for.
Good. I had a blast. Thanks for having me.
And that will do it for this week's show. One on One is a sports podcast from KYW News Radio. If you like this show and want to help us out, make sure you're subscribed so you don't miss an episode. And you can help more people find out about the podcast by finding the show on iTunes and leaving a rating and a review. You can follow the show on Twitter at One on One Pod. You can also follow me on Twitter at MattLeon1060. Thanks again to Philadelphia Soul quarterback Dan Radabaugh for joining us in the studio. My name is Matt Leon. Come back next week for another good conversation with someone you should know more about.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vien and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.